All right, Genesis 1 and 1. In beginnings, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. John 1 and 1. In the beginning, kept on being the Word, the Jehovah. And the Word kept on being toward the God. And the Word kept on being God. And the Word there should be translated how? Who was the Word?
Jehovah.
Jehovah. All right.
Read Genesis 1:1 or John 1.
That's John 1:1 and Genesis 1:1, the God that created that. And Colossians 1 and verse 16 also. Have you got a New Testament with you, any of them?
Yes.
All right, Colossians 1 and 16. Someone read that for me. Colossians 1 and 16.
For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him.
All right. Who is this him?
Christ.
Christ. And who is this Christ?
Jesus.
And who is this Jesus? He's Jehovah. All right. Now, Jehovah Witnesses do not believe that Jesus is God, but He is a God. Okay? They believe that the Father is Jehovah. Now, we agree that the Father is God, don't we? And they agree that the Father is God. But what they say is that the Father God, He created a lesser God, a God named Jesus. All right?
Before.
Yeah, that he came into existence then. The Bible teaches that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one triune God. There aren't three of them. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses teach there's three separate beings. The great God, the Father, or Jehovah. The lesser God, Jesus, or Michael, or Archangel, and then actually the Holy Spirit, which really isn't God at all, but just a force, an invisible force of God. Bible teaches that there is a Father, that there is a Son, and there is a Holy Spirit, but there aren't three of them. All right? They believe in three gods, we believe in one God. One God that is manifest in three personalities of that God. In your body, God made you in His image. You have your fleshly nature, the Adamic nature. You have your soul, and you have your spirit corresponding to the triune God. Okay? Now they say, and they believe, that Jesus had a beginning. They say that Jesus was never resurrected from the grave at all. Jesus says, you destroy this body in 3 days, I will raise it up. We're going to study that in a little while. Now, when you're dealing with a Jehovah's Witness, if you can get them to agree that the Bible, I don't know whether you're going to get one of them converted at all by the Holy Spirit of God, they're in the clutches of the power of darkness. Hell, demons are in demonic religions and that type of thing. I have dealt with them. I have had about two or three people come out of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I've had about three or four other people that I have helped lead out of cults in my ministry in over 30 years. That's not real good. But you know what? It's something. And you are going to have to deal with Jehovah's Witnesses. Are any of you not had to deal with a Jehovah's Witness? They'll come and knock on your door. I haven't had them knock on my door because I got a great big 200-something pound Rottweiler out there and things that say stay out and dog patrol and all this kind of stuff, and they don't come in my yard. I live way out in the country on a farm. They don't come out there. You know, they just leave me alone. If they knew who I was, they'd probably leave me alone anyway. They probably didn't know who I am out there. Every time somebody mentions my name, they bristle up. But, kind of like... Yes. He's excellent. Walter Martin is who is going to become. The Father tasted reality and space and time through the Son, and so the Holy Spirit. But The Son is the one that became flesh. Okay? Not the Father. Not the Holy Spirit. But they did experience it because they are one God. Okay? But the Son, Jehovah, He who shall become, in John 1:14, He became flesh. Alright? As simple as that. Now you can get them to agree that the Father is Jehovah. Alright? And go to John 1 and 1, and go to Genesis 1 and 1, and go back there and say, who is this God that created the heavens and the earth? And they say, this is Jehovah. Alright? Actually, in Hebrew, it's Elohim. Alright? When God starts dealing with the book in the book of Genesis with man as a redeemer, He has a new name, and that name is Jehovah. Because by way of man's falling, that necessitates a redeemer, doesn't it? So when God started dealing with the fallen man, He started using the title of He who shall become. All right? Now, we've studied Genesis 1 and 1, and Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. What does that say now? Do you remember? Now remember, we believe in one God. Deuteronomy means the second law. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He's not three gods, He's one God. Okay? Just remember that. He's one God. Jehovah Witnesses believe in three gods. When they talk about the Trinity, they believe in three. They say that we believe in three gods. We do not believe in three gods. They believe in three gods. And they separate them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit as a force, but not even a God. The Bible teaches that all three of them are the one God. Okay, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Jehovah our Eloha, He is the Jehovah. He is one. All right? Remember that. Now, John 8 and verse 58. Go to John 8 and verse 58. Walter Martin gave the Jehovah Witness a hard time on this back when he was preaching. He wrote to them when they came out with their New World Translation in 1950. And wanted to know why that they translated this verse the way they did in their interlinear New World Translation. All right, John 8 and 58. Jesus is talking about Himself here. Go back up to about verse 55. Jesus is talking to the Jews, the representatives, the administrators of what was supposed to have been God's kingdom on this earth. And they did not believe in God anymore, the God that had called them. Yet, He said, have you not known, but I know Him. And I should say that I know Him, that if I should say I know Him, I shall be a liar, just like you are. But I know Him and I keep His sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you say you have seen Abraham? Now pay attention to what, just think about this. Jesus is talking to the Jews. Now remember what the Jehovah's Witnesses say, that they say that Jesus was not God. He's a God, a created being. All right? We're going to go back in the book of Genesis. We're stating a New Testament fact, and we're going back to the Old Testament, and we're reaffirming it and finding out what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is quoting the Old Testament, something that happened before to Him and to Abraham. Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham, in verse 58. He said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham became, before Abraham came into existence. That's a different word. before Abraham sprang into existence, before he became a person. Ego eimi. He quoted Exodus 3:14 is what he did. Go back to Exodus 3:14. Exodus 3:14. He's quoting that.
That's when Moses asked him, who is the right to say that you are?
Yeah. Exodus 3:14. Moses was talking to God. He said, I'm going to the sons of Israel. What shall I say? The God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? By the way, they got down into Egypt and they forgot the name of God. They forgot who in the world their God was. They were worshiping all the gods of the Egyptians. And I mean, it was dyed in them, dyed deep, indelibly into their hide and their minds. It took God years to get that out of them. Matter of fact, they didn't get it out of them until they went off into the captivity many years later. He couldn't even lead one of them in there, except Joshua and Caleb, into the promised land, because all of them were so tainted with it, polluted. And God said to Moses, Elohim says to Moses, I am who I am. Haya Asher Haya. I am that I am. I am the Eternal One. I am the Eternal One. The Eternal One has sent you. Now, 285 years before Christ, there was a translation from Hebrew into Greek. Greek was the common language of the New Testament period of time. Okay? There was a translation from Hebrew into Greek. And Jesus was quoting that translation when he talked to them in John 8 and verse 58 here. He was quoting the Old Testament. Before Abraham was, I am the Eternal One, ego eimi. And that's exactly what it says here. Ego eimi. Ego is nominative singular, first person pronoun. Eimi is first person singular, present, indicative, active verb. I am the Eternal One. That's what he said in the Old Testament, in Exodus 3:14, and in John 8 and verse 58. Now, in their translation, when they came out in 1950 with this New World Translation, the Jehovah Witnesses, this is what it said in their footnotes, should be translated, I have been. Not as in Exodus 3:14, I am. Due to the perfect indefinite tense in the Greek language. Is there a perfect indefinite tense in Greek language? You people have been studying Greek here for this is the 109th class. Have I ever mentioned the perfect indefinite tense? You know why I haven't mentioned it? Because there isn't such a thing. But in 1950, the Jehovah's Witnesses say that's what that was in the New Testament. The perfect indefinite tense. You know why they said it was the perfect indefinite tense? They invented that tense.
To match their teaching.
Okay? What it was in this is ego eimi. Ego is nominative singular first person pronoun. Okay? Ego. Our word ego comes from that in English. And then eimi is first person singular present indicative active. What is that? First person singular.
I.
It's a to be verb.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
Yeah.
All right, I am. I am. Or I am the Eternal One. And John 1 and 1, where it says, in beginning, kept on being the Word, third person singular. He kept on being third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. How would you translate that Eternal One? In Hebrew, that idea of the Jehovah, the eternal idea of him.
Kept on being?
He kept on being. All right. And Jesus, He could have used that term here, but he didn't, did he? What did he do? He made a direct quote of Exodus 3:14. Now, how did they respond to him? John 8 and verse 59. How did they respond to Jesus saying this?
Sound like children. How can you be back there?
They took up stones to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
To stone him to death for blasphemy.
This is one of those times that they say that Jesus never said he was
God. He was God. He said that he quoted the Old Testament and said, I am the eternal one.
And the proof is that they're going to kill him for it.
Yes. That's what happened. Why did they crucify Jesus? Because he said he was God. He said, I am the eternal one. I kept on being God. I always was. Turn back to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Let's see what else he was talking about. Genesis 22 and verse 14. Let's get her all down here. This is further than what Walter Martin could take you. All right. I'm not running him down, but he wasn't as good in the language as he was good. But there's further to go. All right. He didn't ever bring this out. And it's there. And I think if he would have known enough about the languages, he would have brought this out, because it would have just made his arguments 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times stronger. Abraham was offering Isaac upon Mount Moriah, where Jerusalem is, basically, today. He took him up there, and he offered him to God. And he was about to kill him. All right? Abraham raised up his eyes, and behold, let's go back just a little bit further. Verse 11. No, 9. Genesis 22 and verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac. Laid upon the altar on the top of the wood, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord said to him from heaven, behold, and he says, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad. Do not do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Who's talking?
God.
The angel of Jehovah. A lot of times in the Old Testament, when it talks about the angel of Jehovah, it's Jehovah himself. He said, you haven't withheld him from me. All right? Me, he says that I'm God. Okay? Then Abraham raised up his eyes, and looking, behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son, as a substitute of his son. Who was that ram a type of? Our substitute, which is Jesus Christ. Okay. And Abraham called the name of the place
Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean? It's more than that. What's a literal translation of that from Hebrew? The Lord was seen.
The Lord was seen.
That's right. The Lord was seen. That's what it literally means. The Lord was seen. Jesus is quoting, and he is making a commentary from the New Testament on this verse. Before Abraham was, I am. Abraham was glad, rejoiced to see me. To see me. Me. Was he glad to see Jehovah? Did he want to cut his son's throat? He pulled his little head back and was about to cut his throat. That's what they did to the rams. They pulled their little head back and cut all the jugular veins so they'd die as soon as they could. A gentle death, as gentle as they could think of it. That's what he was going to do to his son, cut his jugular veins. And kill him. He would have been dead within moments. That's what he was going to do. Was he glad to see Jehovah? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, was seen. It's more than that. Now the word, the Lord was seen, but it's also, there is a prophecy in it also. The Lord was seen. This is where you have to really get into the Hebrew. The Lord was seen there. He saw him. How do we know he saw him? Because Jesus said he saw him. He commented on this verse. But the word there also means to see to it or to provide. If I say, you ask me to do something for me, I said, I'll see to it later. That's what this word means here also. It means to see. It means that he was seen and that he would see to it. Okay? That he would see to it or that he would provide. But first of all, the first explanation was that the Lord was seen. God was seen. Jehovah was seen. All right? And as it said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord, he shall provide. All right? He shall provide or he shall be seen. See, that's the place where the Lord was seen. And that's the place where the Lord...
It wasn't a visible scene, or was it just that his presence was there?
The Shekinah glory of God was there. Jehovah's presence was there. The pre-incarnate Christ was there in person and in the person of the Ram.
Okay. So it was in the provision of the Lamb.
He was there, though. Jehovah was there. And the angel of the Lord called to hammer at him a second time. He said, by myself I have sworn.
You're saying that the angel was actually Jesus.
That's Jehovah.
Yeah. And my Bible, where it's saying he, the angel, is capitalized. Talking about God.
Yes, it's God. It's God. The angel is God. All right? The angel of Jehovah is God. All right? Harold Camping, the man really comes up some way out stuff. I mean, out there, he should have gone to Bible school. He stayed home and studied for 5 years or something on his own. And he's a pretty good Bible student. But he gets so far out there in the twilight zone. He says that Michael the Archangel is Jesus. That he is God, though. He doesn't get out there like the Jehovah's Witnesses, but he does say he's God. But he gets mixed up because he doesn't know the typology of the Old Testament. That's where he needed a teacher. He needed a teacher in places like this. And it really helps if you know have a teacher that knows the languages.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And he goes on, and he says, I will bless you. And I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand in the seashore. And your seed, singular now, not plural, your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. And in your seed, singular, not plural, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And in Galatians 3 and 8 in the New Testament, it talks about what the seed was. The seed was Jesus Christ. All nations would be blessed through the seed, his seed, which would be Jesus Christ. All right. Go back into the New Testament again. Brother, do you want one of these tapes of the last couple of weeks?
Yeah,
when you...
That'd be good.
Okay.
I
know you got to go do your... Okay. God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
All right. Back in the New Testament now. Back up in the New Testament. Now, Jesus just walked out from amongst those bunch of rascals. Now, go over to John the 10th chapter. John the 10th chapter. John, Jesus declaring his deity. Jesus is declaring his deity. All the way from verse 22 through verse 39. That is the title. In my book on the New Testament survey, from John 3, 10, that is, 22 through 39, Jesus is declaring his deity, that he is God. All right? I'm going to read it partially from King James, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long do you make us to doubt? If you are the Christ, plainly tell us. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you didn't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. They are my credentials. That's what he's saying. Every time I heal somebody, you people have to verify it. But you don't believe because you're not of my sheep. Ooh. He did the same thing that John the Baptist did. You vipers, you sons of snakes. You aren't my children. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man. He said, I'm God. That's right. I and the Father are one. We are one God. That's what he said. And they said, you said you're God, so we're going to kill you. We're going to stone you for blasphemy. They took up stones, and Jesus answered them, many good works which I have showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you want to stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. What is blasphemy? What is blasphemy? Saying that you are God. That's blasphemy. Now, if Jesus wasn't God, then he was guilty of blasphemy. But since he was Jehovah, then he was not guilty of blasphemy. And when one thing that you have to show a Jehovah Witness that he was really going to be stoned and he was going to be crucified because he said that he was God, he did not have some delusion that he was God. He said, I am God. Okay? And they said, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. And Jesus answered them and said, is it not written in your law? Now, look what he says here. Let's go back to the original language. Jesus said unto them, is it not having been written in the law of you, or your law, that, look what he says, I said. He's quoting himself as the writer and the originator of the law of Moses. That I said, gods ye are. He said, I wrote. I am the originator. I am the author of the Old Testament. I am the God that Moses was quoting. Whew. And I said that gods ye are, that ye are gods. He said that I made you judges to be representative, to be administrators of my kingdom on this earth. If those he called gods, with whom the word of the God came into existence and not are able to be broken, the scripture whom the Father sanctified and he sent into the world, you tell that you blaspheme because I the Son of God say that I am. Look at that. I am the one that gave to you the Old Testament. I am the author of it. I am Jehovah God. I am your creator, is what he's saying to them. If I do not do the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not in me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, again, they sought to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. He's plainly telling them that he is Jehovah God. That's what he did. He is proving his deity. He is declaring his deity. That is the subject of John 10:22-39. That is the subject. You can't get around it any way else. All right? Now, go back again to Revelation 1 and chapter 1 and verse 8. Revelation 1 and verse 8. Turn there. Probably give myself time to turn there. Jesus is talking here. And by the way, the Jehovah Witnesses will say that Alpha and Omega is Jehovah. Alright? That Alpha and Omega, they'll agree with you that Alpha and Omega is Jehovah God. Okay? But we know who's talking here too. We know that it's Jehovah God, and I am Alpha and Omega. The word Alpha means the beginning and the end. Okay? Alpha is the first word, letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last one. And if it's in Hebrew, it's Aleph, and the last word is Tau. The beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. All right? I, John, who also am your brother and companion in your tribulation, and the kingdom of the patience of Jesus Christ, which is in the isle, which is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you have seen, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. All right? Now, John was a time traveler. Jesus took John from the Isle of Patmos in space and time, and that year that he was there in exile, he took him into the period of time that hasn't even begun yet. On this little board up here where I talk about the end of the church age, we're talking about the time period, this seven-year period of time right here where all this tribulation takes place. That which came through up to that period of time and the thousand-year reign of Christ. He talks about the end time and the new heaven and the earth, new earth. And John was actually brought to this period of time and he saw all of this take place as if it was happening right before his eyes, because God can see everything from eternity to eternity as if it is present tense. Okay? And that's exactly what he did to John. And he told John, write it down the best you can. Write her down. All right. Revelation 1 and 8.
The Jews believe right in the Trinity. They just don't believe that Christ fulfilled it yet. But they do believe.
No, the Jews do not believe in the Trinity. No. They do not believe, they do not understand the triune God. They think that God is so far removed from them that He is only the eternal great, eternal I am, and that they cannot even get close to Him. That He's too holy to come close to them at all. They can't understand, they don't want to understand a God that came down and lived among man, yet the promise was always there. Jesus was the fulfillment of that promise. They don't understand it all. The Spirit God, in the book of Genesis, it said, and Spirit God, not the Spirit of God, but Spirit God. Spirit God. Spirit Elohim, the Spirit Elohim, God the Spirit, is what I'm trying to say. Brooded over the faces of the deep. Or the surface of the water. And He is the one that created. And we find that Jesus is the one that created. And we find that the Father was all the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the ones that created and rejuvenated. In Colossians 1 and 16, it tells that Jesus was there. It says that the Holy Spirit was there. And we're going to come to a period of something in a little while, maybe not this class, but the next class, where I want to show you that Jesus said that He would raise His body from the dead. The Father said that He would raise Him from the dead. And it says also that the Holy Spirit raised Him from the dead. In all actuality, when Jesus was raised from the dead, which the Jehovah's Witness do not believe, that the triune God raised Him. Jesus raised Himself, the Father raised Him, and the Holy Spirit raised Him. Because there are one God. We don't have any difficulty believing that. But when you believe in three gods and you try to separate the holy God, the Father, from the lesser God, Jesus, you have problems with it. Because Jesus said He would raise Himself. If all three are one God, you have no problem because there's no disagreement with it. The Holy Spirit raised the Son. The Son raised the Son and the Father raised the Son because they're one God. They're not three different entities, but one God. Okay? All right. In Revelation 1 and 7. It says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and I am the last." Look at that now. I am the first and I am the last. Who is this?
Jesus.
All right, that's Jesus. I am the first and the last. I am he that lives. I am the living one, is what he says. And I am the one that became dead. I became dead. All right? "And behold, living I am unto the ages of the ages, and I have the keys of death and of Hades." Who's it talking about here? Who is this one?
It's talking about Jesus.
I am the living one, and I became dead. Did Jesus die on the cross of Calvary? All right. Did he become dead? All right. That's right. Well, I am the first and I am last. How many firsts and lasts are in the Bible? Huh? Well, there's only one. But I mean, it says it over, but who's the first and who's the last? Who's the Alpha and the Omega? Who's the Aleph and who's the Tau? All of them are one God. They're all Jehovah. And also they are Jesus. And he told him to do something. "You write, therefore, the things that you saw and the things which are and the things which are about to occur or become after these things." Metatate. After these things. You tell me what's going to happen, what's happening now, what happens, and what's going to happen. All right? You write all this stuff down, John. And who's telling him to do this? Jehovah God. And he is the one. I am the living one. And I am the one that became dead. Now, did Jehovah the Father ever become dead? Okay, but they agree, that the Jehovah Witnesses agree, that he is the first and the last. All right. I am the first and I am the last. Are there two first and last? There's only one God that says, I'm the first and I'm the last. There's only one God that was living and became dead. And that was Jehovah. That became flesh. All right, we got that one straightened out. And this is real hard for them to accept. But it's there in black and white, okay? One thing about Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe in Jesus Christ as the God of heaven, but they do believe that the Scriptures are inspired of God. And if you can take them to the Scriptures and hold their nose down to it, and if they'll listen to you, and if God, the Holy Spirit, is dealing with their heart and trying to lead one out of that hellish mess, then you've got a chance to reach them with the gospel. If they just take off, then don't worry about them. Your blood is on them, not on you. But sometimes one of them will listen. And when that one listens, the other one's outside, he takes off. And I'm talking to the boy, Junior, and he's saying, "I don't want to go to hell. You showed me today that there is a hell and I don't want to go there. What can I do?" I said, "Well, you're in the wrong religion for one thing." And I said, "Even my religion is not going to keep you out of hell, but you've got to have a personal experience with the Jehovah God of the Bible. You say you're His witness, but you need to really be His witness. You really want to be His witness, then you need to accept Him as God. Because He is the God of heaven. He's the one who came down and gave His life for you. He became flesh for you. And He died for you. You don't have to go to hell. Unless you want to." Anyway, he's sitting there, he's crying, going on, and about the time I'm about to pray with him, in walks his dad with another one, one of the elders, and his dad's one of the elders. And he's crying. I mean, this guy is right down here, but I believe that he quit his cocktails and everything else to come down there to save this boy out of the clutches of God and keep him in the kingdom of darkness. I never had another chance ever to witness and lead that boy to God. But that day I know that the Holy Spirit was working with that boy, trying to lead him out. And when he faces God, he's going to remember that day, because he came so close to the kingdom of God. And I pray for them all the time. I pray that God will steal. Revelation, the 26th chapter. 22nd chapter. There is no chapter 26. Chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 7. Revelation 22 and verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, I'm going to say something about that too. Because this book, what book is he talking about? The book of Revelation. It's not talking about the whole Bible. Secondarily, you might refer to this as saying the whole Bible, but that's not what it's talking about here. And the curse that's in the book of Revelation, the curse in the book of Revelation is not on the rest of the Bible. It's talking about who changes that book and what's written in that revelation. And it's not revelations, it's revelation. It is a revelation, it's the uncovering of the end time events. Okay? Blessed he that keeps the sayings of this prophecy of this book, of this scroll here. The one keeping, the one guarding. That word is teron there. The one guarding, the one keeping, the one holding up and administrating the works of his kingdom. That word is terio. It comes from terio, and that means to guard. The one that guards the words of this prophecy, the ones that stand by it, the ones that uphold it, the ones that defend the words of this prophecy, okay? And it says in verse 8 that I, John, am the one that saw these things. And I heard them. And I saw them. And I heard them. Now go on again. 22 and 7, go down to verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work. According to what his work is, what it literally says. Verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Look what it says here. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now, who did it say it was over there in Revelation, the first chapter? He said that he was Alpha and Omega, and then he said he was first and last. Now, who is this?
Jesus.
This is Jesus, and who is also it is Jehovah God. You know that the Jehovah Witnesses will translate this as Jehovah God. All right? It is Jesus, and it is the first and the last, and it is Jehovah God. Okay? The revelation of Jesus Christ.
But they don't see him. He's talking about himself, but that's not him talking about
it. I am the first and I am the last. I am the beginning and I am the end. Who is Alpha and Omega? Who is the beginning over there? In beginning, it said in John 1 and 1. In beginnings in Genesis 1 and 1. Who was it? It's Jehovah God, the eternal I am. The same one in Genesis 1 and 1, the same one in John 1 and 1, and now in Revelation 22 and verse 13. I am the first and I am the last. I am the beginning and I am the end. Outside of this great city and the gates of this city are dogs. The word dogs there, by the way, means homosexuals. That is not the animal dogs, okay? It is people That's what God calls dogs, homosexuals. And drug dealers. That's the words. Drug dealers. And whoremongers. And murderers and idolaters. And whoever loves and makes a lie. And by the way, these Jehovah's Witnesses do make a lie, and they love to make their lies. I, Jesus. Who is this? I, Jesus. Verse 16. Jesus. I sent the angel of me to witness to you these things over or to the churches. I am again. Ego Amy. Who is he talking about, Ego Amy?
Himself.
Exodus 3:14, John 8 and verse 58, John 10, Revelation 22 and verse 16, Revelation 1. He's quoting the Old Testament again. I am. I am the root and the offspring of David. Think about that a minute. Back in the Old Testament, it says, Jehovah said to Abraham, in your seed shall all nations be blessed. In your seed. Your root. I am the root. I am the seed of David. The star and the bright and the morning. The star, the morning star. The bright morning star. That's what it says. What a book. What a book. Who is this? This is Jesus, and this is Jehovah, and Jehovah is the declaring that He Himself is God. 22 and verse 13 says, I am Omega, I am Alpha, and I am Omega, I am the first and the last. And look at the end of the book, what it says here. In verse 19, verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things and the churches. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that hears say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto the things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things, say, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Look in the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter, the book of Daniel. That's right after the book of Ezekiel. Daniel, the 7th chapter. Daniel 7 and verse 13. I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, the clouds of heaven. One like the Son of Man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. That's talking about Jesus. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. So all the peoples of the nations and the men of every language might serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. It's talking about the kingdom of Jesus. And by the way, in Daniel 7 and verse 13, they'll say this is Jesus. But this is also that the Jehovah's Witnesses will admit that's Jesus. They'll admit that. There's a lot more. We'll go on there. It's too late to go any further this week.
Well, they believe that Jesus actually became when in flesh. I mean, that's his beginning.
Well, to them, the archangel Michael became flesh. Now, I'm going to tell you, they say that God created a redeemer for all of us. And that redeemer was Jesus Christ. Do you know how that lessens God's plan of salvation? Do you know how that is spitting in God's face? God said, I will be your redeemer. There is no redeemer besides me. And we're going to go on there. We're going to look at that next week. But God, in eternity past, decided that he would be the redeemer of all mankind. In John, 1 John 2 and 1, or 2 and 2, that is, 2 and 1 in verse 2, it says that Jesus Christ is our propitiation, that God became our propitiation, he became our Redeemer, the covering for our sins. He is our Redeemer. He is our sacrifice. In Genesis, the 22nd chapter, that ram in the bush became the sacrifice. That ram was Jehovah, a type of Jehovah to come. Okay? As that ram was a substitute for Isaac, Jesus is our substitute. And they'll say, yes, Jesus is their substitute. But Jesus is not God. But the Bible says that God would become related to us in the flesh and that he would redeem us. You know what they really teach? In all reality, they teach that God decided that man were going to be bad, but that he was going to redeem them and that he would create a redeemer for them. We're going to see in the book of Isaiah that there is no redeemer outside of God, Jehovah himself. And we're going to find that Jesus is referred to as the Jehovah in the Old Testament. All right, the Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is that Jehovah. And we're going to see in two places in the New Testament where he even quotes those words very plainly, that he is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is, matter of fact, Jehovah saw the oath. And we're going to look in Romans the 9th chapter and James the 5th chapter later on. We're going to see that. I want to bring you everything that I can from the original language so that you can see it and how to deal with it, to build your faith up in Christ and in God. For you, when you have to deal with these people, you might somehow, with the help of God, the Holy Spirit, reach them and bring them to the truth and to salvation. And not only that, but to protect yourself from error. Anyway, God did redeem us. What they make is a cheap redemption. That God didn't redeem us himself, but he created a redeemer to die for us. There's a whole lot of difference between God making a redeemer and God being the redeemer. That makes salvation real cheap, doesn't it? No. That Jesus, the man, died and his body saw corruption from then on. If in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it tells about, we're going to study that later on too, it tells about Jesus coming according to the Scriptures, dying according to the Scriptures, and being raised according to the Scriptures. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that God is our Redeemer. They do not believe that Jesus is Jehovah God. What I'm teaching you here and showing you from the Scriptures is that Jesus is indeed Jehovah God, and that Jehovah God did come and pay for our salvation himself. John 1:14, he became flesh, and he was the only begotten one of the Father, the only one like him. There has never been one like him since, nor could there ever be. He was the only begotten God in the flesh. And that he, God himself, redeemed us. That is not a cheap salvation. It cost God everything. He didn't create a redeemer, but he is the redeemer. And we're going to prove that from Scriptures.
Lately they had the word pardon destroy everything.
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses do have a very great scholar for a great-grandfather, and that was Arius of Alexandria. And Arius of Alexandria did know Greek, and he did know Hebrew, and he did not believe in the deity of Christ, and basically he was the grandson of those people that John wrote the Gospel of John against and the book of Revelation against. John talked about the deity of Christ, and that means that Christ was God. Simple as that. All the books that John wrote all confirmed that Jesus is God, that He's the Eternal One. And he was a resurrected spirit, but not in the flesh. That he was a resurrected spirit. But Jesus says spirit does not have flesh and bones. And they try to go around and see there he says that spirit didn't have flesh and bones. He wasn't a resurrected spirit, he was a resurrected body. He had the first glorified body that anybody ever saw. Yes. That is his body, and we will see that body. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Guard our